This is Vision View Sports Radio.
Paul, what's up? Good morning. How are you doing?
Hi, Tanaka. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. I can't complain. Lad was here with me as well, LP.
Hello.
Say good morning to
you. Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm good, good.
All right. So, Paul, yeah, where do we begin, man? So much to unpack. Maybe let's look retrospectively at a conversation that we had where I said to you, this is weeks ago, I said, Paul, surely Mark Boucher can't stay on as Proteas coach. And you said, let's wait for the hearings to happen. Let's wait for him to have his day.
Yeah.
He hasn't yet. Affidavits have come through. What did you make of what you read in those affidavits?
So his affidavit is what is him having a say, because obviously he can't sit on the stand because he'll be in Sri Lanka. So look, it's really hard, and it would have to come down to the victims as to whether they accept the apology, because it felt as though he said, well, in the affidavit he said he didn't know. Well, he didn't know, and he brings it down to being young and also lacking maturity, and that happened in the 90s. It was 6 years after apartheid had ended, and so he didn't know better because he was 20. And then he says, but in 2010, the team was in a better space. Then he goes on to say the team is in a better space now. And that's going to be quite key with what's going to happen. We're going to do that later. But for me, I kind of feel, okay, fine. You're apologizing. You say you didn't know. It's the typical apology you would get from somebody who was caught in something similar, doing something similar to this. I was young. I didn't know better. And I was having this argument with my friends yesterday about how is it that when white men come and say they were young and they were stupid, we have to just accept it. And it doesn't sit well with me to just accept that when at 20 years old, black men in his position had to hold themselves up to the highest of standards. So that's the one thing that really hurt. I was like, okay, that's fine. But then the other thing is that he said in his affidavit that he was part of a group called the Rats, where it was him, Makantini, Paul Adams, and I don't know who the other player was. And because they were new to the team, they were being hazed by the senior players. And he was like, that needs to end. And then he said on top of that one of the reasons why they kept on using the nickname for Paul Adams was they got that nickname from the hazing, and then he was the fines master. So in a fines meeting after the series, there's some player who will fine his teammates for stuff that they've done, if they've left their kid, worn the wrong kids, dropped a catch, all these other things, right? And he was the fines master, and he also admits that probably shouldn't have happened, and he's sorry for that. So he's repentant and he's sorry. And so to a certain extent, I was like, okay, fine. He's apologized. He didn't deny, because a lot of people in his position would have denied and said everything was untrue. He acknowledged that maybe when at the time he didn't understand that people were hurt. So from that perspective, I was like, okay, it's a start. Maybe he has changed. And it's hard for us to see if someone has changed from an apology. You kind of have to see the working out of whatever he promises to do.
Paul, I don't know if I'm giving him as much credit for going about it the way he did. I feel like there was no way around this. There were just too many voices who could corroborate what Adam said to make it not possible for him to tell a lie, right? To be blatant and say, oh, none of this ever happened. But the other name you're looking for, by the way, was Herschel Gibbs in that pack of the Rats. He said something quite strange to me, to say that a lot of the names and nicknames that they were calling each other at that time had racial connotation. None more so disturbing than brown expletive, that what they called, Adams at the time. Paul, this case is somewhat similar to what we had in England recently. Yeah. I forget player's name. Remind me again.
Ollie Robertson. Had a fantastic game before those.
Yeah. Ollie Robertson, just for some context, makes his debut, plays really well. Yeah. Then tweets are pulled up from him when he was much younger, maybe 8 years removed from the moment. And he was saying all sorts of things then. And he said, I'm different now. I've changed. Should the same kind of, and I was one of those defenders of Ollie Robertson to say, when you're young, you know, you say certain things.
Yeah.
Should we apply that same kind of logic and reasoning now, even in a case like this?
Well, to a certain extent, that's what his PR and his lawyers went for. It was the same angle as Ollie Robinson. I was young, I was naive, I didn't know better. At the time, we were coming out of apartheid. The question, and my point has always been, that's not enough. It can never be enough. You can't say you're young and naive because it's about your upbringing and about your culture. It's not, we can't just talk ignorance and be like, oh no, they were ignorant, because it's a systemic thing in their family that they say all these things and it just translates onto the field. And it's also about the culture of the teammates who were onto the field then. But then many people are like, no, but they weren't as educated as we are. But as black people are, who understand that, you know, you can't say things like this because you're going to get yourself in trouble. Because if Mark Bacha was, let's say, Enoch Nkwe, and Enoch had called somebody white, whatever it was, people wouldn't have said, no, he was a young man. They wouldn't have taken this argument. They would have been like, no, he's a racist. And so that's why I feel as though, to a certain extent, he is being shielded by the media. The media is just allowing his version of the story to come through without putting an opinion onto it. But I don't think it's enough. But South Africa may think it's enough because he's apologized, because all the other players who came to the SJN said they wanted an apology. But it's not, because they kept, it's the assumption that a 20-year-old man is not an adult enough. And I don't think so. Because they say, no, but we take kids and we make them professionals. But in every facet of life, when you were 18 or 20 and you were in your first job, you knew that you had to hold yourself to a certain standard and there were certain things you could not say, even 5 years after apartheid. And so I don't buy that. I just think he doesn't want to admit the root cause of the reasons why the team's culture was like that. And that was because they were trying to protect themselves from being essentially black people coming in. And so I find it very hard. And to a certain extent, I can accept his apology, but I don't know where the victims, how the victims feel. I'm not a victim per se, so I can't say, no, it's not enough, but maybe it is. But I can't take that angle of he was young, he was naive. He was 20 years old.
But here's what I have a problem with understanding whether this is an apology or not. Because in that very long statement, there's a part where it says, if I have offended them, I sincerely apologize. And it is important to me that these relationships are mended. It's the if. Because he's not someone that's coming out to say, I did this. He's not someone that's coming out and saying, I did not do this. So why the apology if you still feel that you did not do it? So where are we with this? What are we getting from this man? Easy, I think from social media, what you're getting is people want him to take a stand. It's either you did it and you're sorry, but you can't say, I didn't do it, but I'm still sorry.
And that's the thing. That's the problem. The thing I was reading. I was like, okay, but it's conditional, as you say, Lagapen. Apologies can't be conditional. I'm sorry, I didn't know, and we move on. That if I was, I would be okay with that. You're like, actually, I didn't know that it was hurtful. So for that, I am very sorry. But he's saying, if I offended, and I'm with you there. And to a certain extent, yeah, it is. It's just kind of. It's hard to understand this man's heart because of what we've seen with the team and the ability to open up. Because yesterday, Temba said that he's opened up with the team and he told the team everything. I'm assuming that's in the affidavit and what went on back then. My initial thought was, do you buy it, Temba? Do all the other black players buy it? Because we've been in these situations before where a white man will come and try and explain what happened 20 years ago and that he's not a racist. And then he comes with the ifs. And sometimes it's half-hearted. Sometimes it's just to save his skin. And the only thing is we can never know whether he's sincere or not. Because A, it's in an affidavit. And B, the character of who he was throughout his years does not align, or the years afterwards, does not align with what he's apologizing for and saying he's not a racist. He effectively said he's not a racist because he shared a room with Makai and Gene and Paul Adams. And because of that, he's not a racist. And they went out together and had drinks. And I that's not enough evidence for me to be like, you're off the hook or not. I'm happy you apologized and you fronted up, But outside of that, you know the truth in your heart, whether you're rehabilitated or not. And that's the thing that hurts me, is that the agency has been taken away from the victims to say, yes, you are corrected, and it's put back into the perpetrator's hands to say, well, if you say these things, then I can move on in life.
Mpo, yeah, this case is very difficult. And I say that because if we're being honest, had Mark Boucher come out and said, yes, I was racist at that time, I apologize, full stop, and not done what he's done now and try to be political and dance around the subject, he couldn't then continue in his capacity as the Proteas head coach as it is right now, because you can't have someone who's apologized for and admitted that these offenses are true, and that person still be the coach of a Proteas squad right now that at the forefront of the conversations around the Proteas squad is transformation, right? That just wouldn't make any sense. This is why I think the dancing. But even still, even in all of that, the consensus on Twitter and some of the tweets that we read earlier is still that he can't remain in that position. And I think that's the big thing now. I know there's going to be another affidavit to follow that he has asked to remain private for whatever reasons. But what happens with Mark Boucher going forward in the Proteas setup as it is? That's ultimately where this boils down to.
Well, Tanaka, after reading that affidavit yesterday, Enoch Nkwe resigned. And you're sitting there going, for a workplace environment not being great. And I'm sitting there going, wait, hold up. How do I marry this first affidavit with what Enoch has done? Because if Enoch is saying that, look, the workplace environment is not great, I'm being treated badly by my boss, Mark Boucher, where do we marry this? And I think his situation is untenable. And it's going to be quite interesting to see how ECSA does it now, because with the apology, and if Enoch didn't resign, they'd probably kick the can down the road with Mark with this, because it's a PR stunt and it's fine. But now you're sitting there going, okay, the black man that was supposed to be your assistant has resigned because he thinks, quote unquote, you think he's a cones boy, but he's beaten you 3 times as a head coach and you still don't give him respect. That doesn't tell me you're rehabilitated. That doesn't tell me you changed. That doesn't tell me that that's the man I want in the position. And that's why CSA needs to think long and hard. And Graham Smith needs to think long and hard about his friend, because he's also been implicated and waiting for his affidavit. And now the board of CSA really need to consider the position of the head coach and the director of cricket. I, as a fan, do not mind going to a World Cup without Mark Boucher as coach. I know we're a month away. I do not care. I'm fine. I'm okay with that. If we go to the World Cup with another coach because these things have shaken the tables, that's fine. Because right now, Enoch has said no. He's allowed some senior players some leeway. It'd be interesting to see who those senior players are and what the color of their skin are.
Yeah, important. I quote something that Enoch said with the letter that he wrote. I mean, the letter that he wrote saying, the environment within the team management has become a contaminated space for him to work in. That says so much. And it's a matter of, we can't think about the future when we haven't dealt with the present tense or the present. We can't think about what's going to happen in Sri Lanka. We can't think about so many other things when you are talking about the players talking to the manager, talking to Mark Boucher and everybody else. But for me, it's the psychological impact of it all. If this man that is working at the highest level, a man of color, is saying the space is contaminated, what does it mean for the players? I mean, you can understand that surely going to training must be awkward. It must be hard. There's just a certain aura around it all.
It is. And the thing about this, Lerato and Tanaka, you guys probably have experienced this sometime in your lives, because I have. When I was reading Enoch's words, I kind of felt like, I understand where he comes from. He's a black man in a space that's ruled by white people. He's made his way. He's gotten to the top of his field, was named CSA Coach of the Year, won so many accolades in 1 year, was given an opportunity to lead the team. Then that opportunity was taken away from him. He was made a number two to a guy he bested throughout an entire year and made him look like a fool. And then on top of that, in this environment, it's so toxic that Enoch has to leave a job without another job on the line. He's just like, you know what? it's too much, it's fine. I'll sit at home because I don't want to get in. I want to keep my mental health in a good space. And I really hope that he's okay where he is. And I hope he's getting the help that he needs, because as people of color in this country, there's so many microaggressions that we go through every day that when they become too much, people just up and leave jobs without anything. And all we're told by companies that know they didn't want to buy into the vision and no, they didn't want to do this. But fundamentally, it was the system. And what Enoch is saying is you need to change the system. The system is still favoring white bodies. The system is still protecting white bodies and elevating white bodies who aren't good enough. And because of that, it's punishing black bodies. And we're seeing that with Enoch. I look at a player like Andile Pesuguayo, whose World Cup chances are probably out of the window now because of the way in which he was mishandled and mistreated. All his crime was he got COVID in that England bubble, never got to play. He got injured after that England bubble and was given an SAA tour. And then he gets to the West Indies. He, before the West Indies, was the number one all-rounder in the country. He comes out of it. He's now the number four all-rounder, and nobody wants to touch him. And he only played two games between the West Indies and Ireland, and now he's even out of the Sri Lanka T20 squad. Like, in his head, I don't know what's going on. If Enoch's going through that, I don't know how the players of color, how they are feeling in this regime. And, yeah, it's very tough. Like, I'm worried for the people of color right now who are going to climb on that plane and go to Sri Lanka with all of this going on. It's not fair on them.
Mpo, listen, we have to wrap up the conversation here. It's a conversation I think we can have throughout the show and really sit for the 3-hour duration and kind of flesh it out for more aspects. Enoch Nguyen, Mark Balch, and everything that's been said at the SJN hearings. I want you to tell us what happens or what you feel should happen next. We know that there will be another affidavit submitted in the future. I'm not sure if you're willing at all to wait to hear or to find out what that says. I know it won't be made public, but you know these things probably come out in some way, shape, or form. What do you think happens in the near future? I mean, cricket, the World Cup considered.
Look, I think what they might do, what the board might do, is they might still keep Mark Boucher until after the World Cup. They're going to probably hold the affidavit until after the World Cup. I don't know how they deal with the Enoch Nguyen situation. I think they will let him go. We've seen Mandla Mashimbi is now on the plane to go to Sri Lanka. So Mandla might be the assistant coach at the World Cup. I think they're worried about the team's preparation to the World Cup. To a certain extent, I do think the team needs to have a culture camp, and they need to ask the team, the board, the president of the board needs to ask the team whether they are willing, what the team's stance is on Mark Boucher. If they want him to coach them at the World Cup, that's fine. If they don't want him to coach them at the World Cup, it has to be the team's choice. Because I'm okay with Mark not taking the team to the World Cup, even if it's a month away. I'm okay with giving Imran Khan or even get Jeff Toyana to come in because he's more senior than all the other guys and get somebody in to just lead this team to the World Cup. The plans have already been laid. The plan's already there. It's just necessarily executing. The 15's really, really set. It's just obviously the environment and the culture of the team. And sometimes getting somebody out of that culture might actually free up the team, the players a little bit more. So I think that's what's going to happen. But there's going to be a lot of discussions outside of Sri Lanka. Because the team was supposed to go from Sri Lanka to the UAE bubble. I think there might be a situation where they have to come to South Africa and they're going to have to try and fix this. Because they leave tomorrow morning. Like it's really getting to like the late bell. So if nothing happens today, in terms of team management and whatever happens, then we'll have to wait until the end of the Sri Lanka series to sort it out.
All right, Mpo, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate your time. I think in the weeks to follow, there will be more conversations like this that we're going to need you to come on for. But we as always, man, we're really grateful for you taking time out to chat with us.
Sure, no problem.
All right, cheers. That's Mpho Motloane there on the phone line with us, running through everything we've heard from the SJN thus far. The news this morning is that Proteas assistant coach Enoch Nkwe has indeed signaled his intention to resign, and this matter is being considered by the board because the working environment has become untenable and contaminated. That's his words, not ours. We also know that Proteas head coach Mark Boucher has sent two affidavits to the SJN hearings, detailing in which events transpired during his earlier playing days as part of the Proteas side. Send us through your thoughts. What do you make of the affidavits? What should happen with Mark Boucher next? And also on Coach Enoch Nkwe at @VisionView_SO on Twitter, Vision View Sports Radio.
Radio with a vision. Vision View Sports Radio.